Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC. And I got to tell you about today's episode sponsor, friends. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult. I think we all know that, but Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably. They have the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Now, my friends, I get excited about most of the guests that we have here on Startup Hustle. And I've had people tell me, you know, you can't get excited about all of them, Lauren. And I'm like, no, I absolutely can. And I do. I get excited about talking to founders. But I am particularly excited to talk to today's founder. We have with us today Suman Kaniganti, co-founder and CEO of Personal.ai. And the reason I am so excited, there are several reasons, but the reason that I'm so excited is Suman and I have actually already had a conversation. Check out the episode that was published back in July of 2022, The Impact of AI on Humanity. So I love having repeat guests, but I particularly love this repeat guest because from what I remember and what I experienced, the episode that we recorded was actually one of my favorites of all time. And I've done a lot of these. That's saying a lot. Because Suman, he's an incredible co-founder and he is leading the charge in a really exciting area of technological advance. So we're going to have a really great conversation. First things first, welcome to the show, Suman. Welcome back. And thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Lauren. And you are very kind with your words. So thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Well, let's get cracking. And I just want to go ahead and remind our listeners at home, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about what you do, what Personal.ai does.
I'm almost 100% sure it will be the same introduction that I've done last time, but I will repeat it. I most generally do an introduction by saying that I'm most passionate about solving problems and not humans. Which goes without saying, in my past company, I built a company called Aira, A-I-R-A, to solve the missing visual information gap for people who are blind and low vision. So it's always about like, how can we use technology to augment, you know, people's experiences and solve the problems along the way, you know, create this like beautiful moments in their lives. That philosophy extends into this company, Personal AI, with a core thesis of how can you use or leverage technology to augment individual people's minds and cognitions. Because obviously we have tons of experiences every day. You know, we have a lot of conversations every day. We, you know, create tons of different things, but we also forget. So what does it mean of having your own personal AI that actually speaks like you, learns of you, behaves in your manner and knows everything of your knowledge? Where could those be applicable, and how could that even increase the access among people or reduce the stress and anxiety of being able to recall information that is otherwise lost. So that's kind of like my core passion and thesis and philosophy, and been working on this company for 3 years with my co-founders.
Well, you have an incredible story. And I think conversationally, where I want to go right now is I want to talk about AI as a landscape. You know, a lot of exciting things have happened in the AI space since you and I last talked. And you even mentioned this in pre-show prep, but, you know, the show that we last did was back in July. You know, this is months later. And from what I have seen, someone on the outside looking in, kind of trying to understand the AI landscape, like we've seen ChatGPT come to the forefront. We've seen a lot of conversations and a lot of new technologies related to AI. So why don't you talk to us about that just a little bit? Like talk about maybe some of the momentum and some of the changes that you've seen within the AI space since we last talked.
Yeah. You know, it's very funny. When you're building a startup, you don't know what the hell is going on next,
yeah.
Right? Like, you don't know what you're getting into. You don't know when things are going to happen. So, you know, like, July is what? Like, not even 8 months before when we had this conversation, the idea of personal AI was like a concept until, you know, they see the product and the reality of what it can actually do. And now here we are 8 months later, the dramaticism around the AI and the awareness around the AI and the potential of the AI is so radically improved or changed. And thanks to ChatGPT, because in a way, ChatGPT has been working on, you know, building their large language models like for 7 to 8 years. And personal AI, we've been building our small language models. We call it personal language models for 3 years now. And the timing couldn't be more better for us, because all the work that we've been doing on developing these models, doing the experiments, you know, gathering the feedback from people, you know, figuring out what the UX and what the problems and what the design should be are all converging together. So what's happening out there now is ChatGPT is leading charge of the next generation of AI. And they've been, you know, implementing some of the models, and we've been implementing some of the models. The good news is the idea of chatting with an AI and the idea of it is ready for benefiting consumers on a day-to-day basis, benefiting corporations and companies on a day-to-day basis, is much more widely applicable now. It's almost like inventing or a new invention, like a personal computer invention. Like, what can you do if you have a personal computer, right? And then the world changes. What can you do if you have a mobile phone? The world changes. Is AI, is it in that state right now? Okay, these are the things that's possible now. What can you do with it? And how it's going to change? How will you?
Well, and I got to tell you, so I actually just recently started using ChatGPT, and I found it to be a really great tool in my arsenal. So like, for instance, one of the things that I'll do is I'll go in and I'll be like, hey, draft an email about supporting women for Women's History Month or whatever, whatever the request is, but a fairly general request. And then all of a sudden I see this beautiful email unfolding. And the fact is, like, I mean, it's not perfect. I always go in and I tweak a few things and I punch a few things, but having that framework to act within makes things move so much more quickly for me. So AI, I think we're all kind of getting this awareness that it has the potential to be this transformative tool. However, you look at AI a little differently. I think that a lot of the tools and a lot of the startups in the space, they're looking at AI as like a transactional kind of relationship. You're looking to create AI that is a little bit more personal. So I'm wondering, personal AI, it's right there in the title, in your company name. So I'm wondering if you can talk to us about that. You mentioned it when you were doing your intro, but let's do a little bit of a deep dive into why we might want to develop more meaningful relationships with our AI.
Yeah. So I would start by saying it's not a little bit personal, it's 100% personal. And that's kind of
okay. No,
because the little bit of personalization, you don't need personal AI for it. The little bit of personalization can happen with ChatGPT, for example, right? And what the example that you gave is a beautiful example, right? So you go to ChatGPT and you're looking for ideas and you wanted to write something for Women's History Month, and you know, you have some ideas. now, you use that content and you'll probably, you know, fix and personalize it 100% because that's 100% Lauren, right? And then you publish it and you share it with your friends and with your family, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there are two use cases in that particular example on how personal AI would be different. One, assuming you do have your own personal AI, assuming that it is actually learning your ways of talking, doing things, your principles, your philosophies, your knowledge of what does it mean for you for a Women's History Month and what kind of creative ideas that you would have, not the general internet. And then asking the same question to your personal AI, hey, write an email for me from my own thoughts for a Women's History Month that I can share with people. And that is going to be more closer, ultra personal, of like Lauren. And that's what personal AI is. It's kind of opposite to the spectrum of this creating this intelligence from the general world information.
Yeah.
Versus creating this intelligence or model of your information and your personal thoughts, right? Yeah. The concept is the same. It's an AI. But in this case, everybody gets their own unique model. How your AI talks is different than how my AI talks. But if you share me the same prompt that you have used for ChatGPT, and if I use the same prompt, I get the same response.
Yeah.
And I will personalize it further, but technically everybody's starting point is the same. So the way to think about personal AI is, for us, it's about learning an individual human, their ways of how their knowledge, their behavior actually works.
Yeah.
And we think about it as like an augmentative technology, not necessarily as a bot or a tool that you communicate and simply gather information, but it's more like an asset because, you know, you're creating like your mind and memory, and the idea of like your thoughts is, you know, anything personal is very personal, right? So we got to understand the intensity that goes behind like having your own model that you develop trust with, that other people can communicate with, and it's augmenting your communications with. I think that's kind of where like we revolve. I can speak a little bit about the technology, but I know you're, depending on your audience, if you want to dig
down. I definitely want to talk about the technology, but I just want to make sure that I'm going to check my understanding, and I'm going to do it on behalf of our listeners. So when we're talking about that personal touch. So as a, for instance, you know, everybody has a very distinct, I'm going to continue with the analogy or the use case that we've already been talking about, but everybody has a distinctive writing style. You know, we spell things certain ways. And so like, for instance, I know that when I'm writing, I love to do lists within my writing. Like I don't often say she is beautiful. I will say she is beautiful and passionate and brainy and, you know, what have you. Like I like to list things. And I know that that is something that is unique to my writing style. And so having a tool that can not only offer the kind of general assistance that like a ChatGPT would provide, but being able to see that unfold in real time in my voice, in the way that I communicate with the world, I can imagine that that would be really, really powerful. And so I do want to ask you this though, because I'm fascinated by this whole process. I think we know by now, most of us know by now, that when we're talking about AI, we're talking about, you have to teach AI how to human. Right? Like you have to pull data from multiple different sources, and you have to essentially feed it into the machine and help it figure out how to be a human. But you're taking it a step further. You know, I'm sure, I don't know, I told you I was going to bring up the Turing test, but like, we are not that far out from people being incapable of accepting an AI voice or a technological voice as being a real human being. And we're now starting to see it happen. We've talked about the Turing test for years, and all of a sudden, hey, we can now look at AI and we can talk to AI and not realize that we're not talking to a human being. So we're seeing improvements in the system. And I mean, that's the way that technology goes. You know, it grows and it moves and it changes and it pivots very quickly. But I'm fascinated by what it takes. How do you teach a machine to be human? Dive deep into that for us, because I'm not just talking about like feeding in the data points. I'm talking about those pieces that are uniquely human. What does that process look like?
I will start off with like basics and kind of like go deeper. And let's start with the basics also with ChatGPT, and then I will go into personal AI.
Okay.
So with like large language models, as we all understand, we've been using, you know, Google search for a long period of time. So we can go to any website and, you know, read the particular information. And for us to find a particular website, then you use Google, you know, Google to find or index that information and get it. 20 years ago, before, or even like now 30 years ago, before Google existed, we need to know a specific URL or website for us to go and find that information, right? Like yahoo.com encyclopedia. That's the only things that you would go to. And then, you know, Google came along and, you know, you would suddenly have access to the world's information because now you can search for it.
Right.
Now, this AI and the intelligence idea is that it is essentially taking this world's information and then crunching an algorithm into a model that is like much more extractive in nature from a conversation standpoint, from a human stylistic standpoint. Why is it so good like these days and right now? Is because there is so much information that is available that encapsulates this idea of how humans communicate with each other and how the language needs to be constructed. So the idea of like generating, okay, if I am saying, you know, a particular sentence or a word, what is the next probable word is, given the context, is more likely to be known in the large language model context.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is how can it be more like human? At the end of the day, everything that a chat or a chatbot, when you are conversing and talking, is still very random. It's very predictive. In other words, it's not yet replicating this idea of like how human feels or thinks or style.
Well, so I want to, again, I'm going to check my understanding here, and I might be asking a very dumb question, and you can call me out for being an idiot if you want to. But when I think, and I keep using ChatGPT, and it's just because that's the system that I've used and I'm familiar with, but the way that I'm thinking about it in my head is that, you know, some of the more generic AI tools that are out there, I feel like they might take an average of a topic.
So
they're taking all of this data and they are kind of compartmentalizing it, moving it around until it becomes very flat, figuring out what, as you said, like predictive, what is the most likely thing that's going to happen. But that's not what happens with personal AI. Personal AI is not looking for the average. It's looking for the things that make you uniquely you. Is that an accurate statement?
It is an accurate statement. So the way to think about it is, let's take an example of people, right?
Yeah.
If you probably look for, you know, Suman Kanaganti, there's probably like, you know, 20, 30 Suman Kanagantis that pop up on Google. And if I search for Lauren Conway, there's probably like tons of Laurens.
There aren't that many.
Exactly. It's unique. But now, let's say, you know, the whole idea of like writing. Would say, write a email from Lauren Stotts about Women's History Month. We probably know or don't know that it is you or it is the average of, you know, all the people's writing that is happening out there.
Yeah.
However, in the personal AI scenario, in like, let's say if you are in my corpus, I only know one Lauren, right?
Yeah.
And it is particularly you. So the idea of averaging does not exist. The idea of bias does not exist because it's already by design,
yeah,
down to an individual level. So what you think of a person, how you wrote about your stylistic is yours, and that's what AI is, you know, crunching the data or predicting. And that's the reason why it's more personal than the large language models. So I think technologically speaking, it's very similar, except that our implementation is very much focused on optimizing individual personal data rather than anonymizing and aggregating all the data that exists in the world forever.
Yeah. So what are some of the, I guess, bullet points or I guess the larger categories of things that you look for differentiation with? So like, for instance, language usage. I know that that has to be a factor. Like, I speak differently than you speak. I use different words. I have a different educational background. So like, that has to be a differentiator. What are some of the other areas of differentiation?
So one is accuracy. So accuracy as in how accurate it is to your world versus other people's world.
Okay.
Let's say, even simple facts such as like married, not married, your kids, like your life, your facts. Like there are certain facts around you, who you are as a person, right?
Yeah.
So, and there are certain knowledge that you possess. So accuracy is one of the key characteristics of personal AI. And the second thing is style. So you mentioned, you used 1, 2, 3 different words and you like to repeat things,
yeah.
You like to lift things. So it will like pick up the stylistic component of you. And third is like relevancy as in, based on the incoming intent, how relevant a response is likely to come from you. So let's say you can talk to me everything about, blind community and my perspectives on the blind community, because I worked in the past. However,
right.
If you talk to me something from, medical field, which I have no clue about, it is not relevant to my life. So that's like one of the other unique things. If you ask to ChatGPT, the good news is, it knows a lot, right? It knows everything, but it does not know like one particular individual person. So if that medical person would have to have their personal AI, everything in terms of fact and accuracy and relevancy will be tailored to that particular person. So those are the three things. And finally, it's a comprehensive nature of it, meaning you can choose to train your AI on how broad you want it to learn about you versus how deep you would want to go into a particular topic. But that's your choice.
I'm gonna stop you, and I'm gonna ask you, like, what is a reason that you might not want personal AI to be trained, attuned to you as much? Like, what are some reasons that a consumer might give for saying, well, I want it to kind of be like me, but if there are levels, I want it to be like in the middle of the spectrum rather than like 100% me all the time.
Think about it. I mean, it is no different than any other. Person, for whatever reason, they were probably trying to, hide something from somebody, and it is private for some people. So it's a choice, right? So I think it's always good to give people choices, and it's always good to give people the control of what they would want to do. I will give an example. Some people who are maybe probably famous, who doesn't mind, but a little bit more like internal, they don't want to share things about their family, right? That's fine. That's why we got to like respect like what they want to share and what they don't want to share and what your AI want to learn and not learn. But at the core, you can choose and you can design, okay, hang on. I want to communicate with my mom every day and she sends me, text messages like from morning to evening asking about what is going on in my life, my health, my calendar, if I'm free or not. So if my AI is able to actually create responses for me where I can simply look at it and swipe right to send it, because I want to respond to my mom. I do. But obviously, I see a notification and it's like, hang on, I need to type, or I can simply swipe right. Like, what would I choose? I would simply swipe right because my personal AI is telling me, dude, you can respond in so-and-so manner because it is authentic to me. It's probably coming from my knowledge as well. So why wouldn't I? So I think it depends on each person that you are speaking to and what their, corpus of data and how they are looking at.
Sure. But you're building in some flexibility and I enjoy that. What I think is really fascinating about this, like we often joke in our daily lives that, I wish there was another me out there. And essentially that's what you're creating. You're creating another me to introduce efficiencies and to act as an agent of Lauren Conway, right?
Yeah, agent of Lauren Conway is a best way to think about it and put it. And I mean, here's the thing, right? You can go talk to ChatGPT as an AI. You can go to, you know, talk to personal AI as an AI. But one of the fundamental, one of the primary differences is the person who is coming to talk to an AI needs to know what they are talking. Like, you know, there is a cold start problem. For example, if you come to me, you need to know who the hell Suman is and what are the knowledge and what is the corpus. What do we talk to these people? Like, even for the podcast setting, we have this, you know, warm up questions to understand like who you are so that we can dig into the conversations. You need to do that with your AI as well. Like, how do you know? So and that's the reason why I think it's less of a human to AI experience. It has to be a human to human experience where your AIs are augmenting you in the context of personally, in the context of human to human communication.
Well, thank you so much for explaining that. Like, I feel like I'm learning so much. You also have some exciting news that we're going to talk about after the jump, but I have something else exciting to talk about. I don't know if you've heard about Full Scale, but if you listen to the show and you haven't heard about Full Scale, I don't know where you've been. But Full Scale is today's episode sponsor. Finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Full Scale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. Friends, we are here today with Suman Kaniganti, co-founder and CEO of personal.ai. And I want to ask you, you have some exciting news to share, and I really, really want to hear about it. Do you want to tell us where we're at, what we're celebrating?
Yeah, you know, it's almost a dream come
true. Not really. I don't know. We'll see.
Look, I mean, we've been working our ass off for the past 3 years or so to get to this goal, or to get this end goal, which is this idea of everybody having control of their life and everybody having their own AI, right? Everybody having their own personal AI.
Yeah.
So now anybody can create a personal AI account and create their own personal AI for free. The way it works, is very similar to any messaging application, such as Snapchat or WhatsApp or iMessage or anything. This is a mobile application or a desktop application where you can invite your friends, your family, your communities, your teams, you can create groups, all the bells and whistles that a typical messaging application would have. But everything that you send to your AI or to other people will always be remembered within the scope of your personal AI.
Yeah.
And for all the incoming messages that you ever receive from anybody, your personal AI will automatically draft responses for you if it understands the context, if it knows the information.
Yeah.
In a co-pilot mode, meaning you are still in control, right? You still can edit it, you can still can dismiss it or personalize it. But if you like it, you can simply swipe right to send it. But the beauty is this is not any general AI generation response. It's not a canned set of responses. It's actually generated from your own mind that is authentic to you with your own knowledge. And now
So let's say I'm trying to think of a practical application, and I'm going to go back to the email thing. Because I feel like text data is probably really, really a big part of teaching AI. Mm-hmm. So let's say that I have an event for Innovator coming up, and I send an email to the speakers and I mention the event name and I mention the panelists, and I mention the start time. So is this how it would happen? Like, somebody emails me and is like, hey, when is that event again? It's going to pull the personal AI is going to pull the information from previous emails that I've sent about this event and kind of cobble together a response. Is that the very, very basic way to look at it? I know that it's a lot more complicated than that, but
no, that's very basic. How that is? It's a very good example. And yes, you should be exactly thinking that it should be doing it. We can go even simpler, right?
Oh, good. I love simpler.
let's say you text message me asking, Suman, when are you coming back from India? I heard you are traveling, right? Yeah. And they send you a response. Hey, Lauren, you know, good to hear from you. I am coming back and so date, you know, because I came in here for, you know, attending one of my cousin's wedding, whatsoever. And then some other friend would message me is like, dude, when are you coming back? Like, you know, I need to know because I need to schedule things. My AI already knows that because I already responded to you about like some right. similar conversation, similar information. So yeah, so it would construct for me. And I would simply send it. Otherwise, I would probably type it. Yes, sure, you know, it probably takes time. But at the same time, you know, there are, you know, there are certain facts that you would remember easily. There are certain things that you do not remember. That goes back into the core concept of we do forget. We do forget like what we create, what we experience, what we live, the daily yeah. activities also we forget. So there are like, you know, compounding benefits of like what we are talking about in here, and eventually to the point where you are taking control of your data, your life, making it work for you. And in the, you know, I can talk about the future, but I think that's the basic.
Yeah. Well, no, I love that. So I'm going to ask you, to tell us about your experience with this new tool so far. So I'm sure that your team has been testing it. I'm going to assume that you use it, you know, as the greatest brand advocate that personal.ai has. Talk to us about folks who have been using this tool. What has their experience been like?
Yeah. So far, I've been exposing it to my team, my ES, my sister, and my brother.
Nice. So, great market feedback right there. That's great.
It's very interesting, right? It's very interesting because, you know, we have like different dimensions to our life, right? You know, we have private life. Within private life, there is probably, you know, different personalities, you know, how you behave with your sister and what kind of communications you have with her versus, you know, what an employee at your company would seek from you, right? It's like dramatically different.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing is, you know, my sister likes to ask me a lot of business-related technical questions because she's going through her MBA. And she always wants to learn my things. Like, hey, how did you do this at, you know, Ira? And what are you doing at Personal AI? Like, you know, what is your, do you have any like playbook on how you hire people? Because I'm doing a, you know, specific project in her MBA class. And even like a few months ago, if I do not respond to my sister, she's going to call me within 10 minutes.
Oh,
and
sure.
Speaking of it, I don't know if it's like irony or something. 2:25, so it's like literally 15 minutes ago she called me.
So for folks at home, like I definitely see a whole bunch of calls and text. All right. Hey, Lion, he just showed you. I'm going to have to take my word for it. Oh my gosh. excuse me.
So that's my sister. And now I'm going to my AI actually. Then she did specifically ask me my questions. This is not recorded publicly, is it? I mean, they cannot see my screen. Oh no, I cannot share.
No, it's actually, hold on. Let me pause it for a second.
She's asking question about diversification, specifically around like my, you know, how I speak about diversity and diversification. So now she's talking to my AI, like literally live.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. Meaning, like with my sister, I have enough trust and she trusts me enough. She understands like the system now. I put her in the autopilot, meaning I don't even have to say yes or no for generating a response. It will automatically send to my sister if the scores are like, you know, north of 60 or 70% personal. Let's say if a new investor is coming in who is judging everything that we do, then I would put them in the co-pilot mode. So that way my generations are, you know, ensured that it is right and it is sent. I don't know why I went to that example. Oh, but yeah. So that's like made it day-to-day use and testing that is happening across professional life, across personal life. I cannot wait for our mobile app to be out for my parents to be on it.
Oh, that would be so fun. So I do have, it's a kind of philosophical question for you. So I have literally had people get upset with me when I send out a calendar link, when people are like, let's meet up here are some times. And I'm like, actually just go ahead and book it through my link. And the complaint seems to be that that is disrespectful and that I should value people's time. And I'm like, I'm valuing your time. I'm trying to save us time of going back and forth in emails, like just book it through the link, look at your calendar. And then we don't have to do this dance of, well, I can't make those days. Can you make these days? But what about that? And so it's an efficiency, right? When I send out my calendar link. But there are people who are very averse to that idea. They want me to be right behind the screen typing away and thinking through these things with them. And so have you received that kind of pushback? Like, I understand that this AI is a representation of you, but it's not you. Do you see people getting frustrated by that?
Absolutely. And that's the reason why you need to have control. So I will give you an example. It's Calendly link, right?
Yeah.
It's a great example to kind of lead in. Do you send that Calendly link to everybody, or do you know who are the people who would be okay to receive a Calendly link? And then who are the people who are not okay to receive that Calendly link?
Yeah. Well, I'm community, so I send them to everybody. But...
great. Okay. That's it. You're making a choice.
Yeah,
but you're making choice. So if you are sending me Calendly link, I wouldn't judge you. I was like, okay. No, of course, we both are trying to connect. I would get in the car. So what I'm trying to say is, yes, it works, but people need to have a choice. So you have a choice whether to send Calendly link and, you know, whether people will judge you or not, or they will upset with you. So
yeah.
In the case of personal AI, you have two choices. One is you can be in the co-pilot mode. In other words, you are still in control of actually saying yes or no, or personalizing it or editing it and sending the response. So it is still you. The only thing is, it's almost like you have an assistant sitting next to you. It's like, hey, can you please type this? And then they type it and then they send it. But you are sending it, right?
See, somebody, I mean, that's how I view it. Like when I use ChatGPT, like I'm just creating an efficiency. And I go in and I look at it and I edit it and I change things. Like, it's not like I'm just like copy paste, boom. You know, I definitely still want to kind of inject my own personality in there, but you're already doing that with personal AI.
Right.
Like, that's the whole deal. Right? So you're making it even easier.
And then the flip side of the next level is, let's say in our relationship, I need to learn something from you. Like, I need to know, you know, some of the other cool podcasts that you're doing and some of the things that you are learning from the other founder. So I would go to your AI, and if you set your AI to autopilot for Suman, because any question that he asks me and you generate response and send it to me without having to wait for you to come and send me a response, maybe because you're sleeping, maybe you're on vacation, I would absolutely take that.
Yeah.
But that is, again, your choice of, you know, how you are controlling or making a choice deliberately whether this personal AI in this setting is not visible to other people. It's just like providing the suggestions versus it is visible to other people because your time is more valuable and there is generally acceptance on the other side, and where you can get AMA style question and answers back and forth.
Yeah.
It's a choice. And that's where you have...
there's a choice, and you're still creating options for autonomy. You're still creating options around that humanity piece. So I dig that. I do want to ask you, you know what I want to ask you? You and I actually exchanged a couple of emails before we like booked this recording session. Were you responding to me via AI? Of course I was.
I don't have invitations into the email yet, but I'm not going to answer you that.
Okay.
Because yes, indeed, actually, the thing is, right now the system is set up in such a way that everything that I communicate on the system is learned, and I can still kind of integrate my Twitter and my everything else.
Yeah.
And we are coming up with Gmail integrations as well. Once you do have the Gmail integrations, you can think about your AI like drafting your emails.
Yeah.
That you can simply push button. I think there is like some time for that, maybe 6 months to 12 months or so. But similar to messaging, you know, people, you know, you would have your Gmail kind of app within, you know, your personal application that directs messages for you, and you can simply quick send if you would like. But there is some time for it. But right now the focus is on communication and messaging, and then we'll get to other things such as emails.
Okay. I just really wanted to know. I was like, was I talking to Suman the human or Suman the
Asian? Matter, though.
I don't know which one. So let me ask you this, because you've kind of alluded to it a couple of times. I mean, the fact is the AI landscape, whatever you want to call it, it's changing very quickly. And I feel almost like the change has accelerated in recent months, you know, something to look forward to. But what do you see as the future of AI? What are we moving to? And what do you, how do you hope to plug personal.ai into that?
I think for me, even today, AI is very much stuck in the corporate world.
Okay.
I would want a lot more push and trends that we'll likely start seeing AI in the benefit of everyday consumers. And that's kind of where personal AI will come into play.
Yeah.
What will happen, I believe, is the following. You know, at the end of the day, for AI to happen, there needs to be a compute behind the scenes, you know, computers, basically GPUs, right? But these compute devices are getting smaller and more powerful, and they're getting in our everyday homes accessible than ever before. Not only you have your computer now, you have your mobile phone, you have your wearable device, you have your Alexa devices, you have your IoT devices, and everything will be connected, right? So that means the idea of data capture that is happening from an individual person on a day-to-day basis is much more ambient.
Yeah.
And all that data needs to go somewhere. And if you don't do personal AI, that data is still going somewhere, and God knows you don't know where it is going.
That's and a really scary thought. Thank you for introducing that into my brain. I'm going to wake up like 2 in the morning and be like, where is my data?
So there is a intrinsic benefit with personal AI. Even if you think about the utility of personal AI is a secondary benefit. The primary benefit is own your fucking life. I mean, you can edit that out if you don't want it, but own your life.
And explicit tag on all of our shows.
No, seriously, I mean, get your data to work in your favor. And the future should hold a place where when you open up an app, it's not your GPS location, it's not your data going to some other servers, some other app. Those apps, those services should make an API call to you, to your personal AI, to request that data, because you own it, right?
Okay.
And your personal AI knows you more than ever anybody else.
That I love that such a responsive and it intentional and thoughtful tool is being built out. I can't wait for the day, like you were talking about, getting AI more into like the consumer's hands, the average Joe public. And I'm super excited. Like someday I'm going to have a conversation with my fridge, and I'm going to ask my fridge to make me a grocery list, and it's going to be populated with things that I tend to buy. And then I'm going to review it, send it off, and somebody's going to deliver me some groceries. Like, I can't wait for that day. That sounds amazing. Don't you think?
That will happen sooner than later. And we will play a big role in making sure that happens.
For sure. Well, I'll tell you what, my friend, I cannot wait to see where you go and where this industry and where this, you know, this advance goes. It feels very, very future to me. I can't wait to see where it goes. And I got to tell you, I'm very grateful. Thank you so much for coming back to chat with us on the show. As always, you are a stellar guest, sir. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's always fun to talk to you.
Absolutely. We need to like make this happen on purpose more often, for sure. Another thing that we definitely need to get really intentional about is figuring out how to build out our teams. And I don't know if you know this, if you haven't heard, but FullScale can help you with that. If you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders, they have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions and then let the platform match you up with fully vetted, highly experienced software engineers, testers, and leaders. At FullScale, they specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit fullscale.io. And friends, I know I keep plugging this one, but I love it so much. So I'm going to ask you to keep an eye out for another Startup Hustle content series we did with Frank Keck. He is an expert and a thought leader around building culture. And Frank had the distinct, we'll call it a pleasure, I'm assuming it was, but he got to interview all of the Startup Hustle co-hosts, and it was incredible. He did a really great job. And there were so many gems around building culture with your company. So I'm going to ask you, keep an eye out for Founder Fridays with Frank. Give us a listen. You know, he's just a really great interviewer. So definitely check it out. And of course, friends, we are so grateful that you come back and talk or listen to us week after week. You know, definitely let us know what you want to hear. We love hearing your feedback, but keep coming back. We will catch you next time.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by FullScale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.